2, rolling. Hello there, Zach and Andy, reporting back for another A to Z No BS show.
In my gorgeous backyard.
Here in Andy's backyard that is now sporting some fresh potted plants.
Mm-hmm.
And at least one new tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the new tree's up front.
Yeah.
And the lettuce.
Oh, yeah, let us not forget the table lettuce.
The table lettuce is killing it right now. Yeah, that's that living lettuce that you buy at the grocery store. And I ate it, and then I was like, you know what, I'm going to toss it in some water and see what happens, and here we are.
Well, next barbecue, I'll bring some tomatoes. Yeah, you've got the lettuce.
At the current growth rate, it might be like another month or two before I can actually eat that again. But okay, yeah.
Yeah, I might cover 2 burgers.
You know, I haven't done burgers on my griddle yet.
Oh, on your Blackstone?
Yeah, my big old Blackstone griddle behind us. I have not done smash burger or just burgers in general. And I need to do that because I'm having my client party on June 3rd. It's a Saturday. Are you in town?
I am in town.
Word?
I can't wait. Dude, you could maybe do like a smash burger theme. Like, read up on some In-N-Out burger recipes. And do a little smash burger theme.
I think I'm gonna do smash burgers. I'm also gonna do hash browns, because I joke about hash browns in the gym. So I gotta do hash browns and burgers, and yeah, it's gonna be like a brunch kind of thing.
Nice.
So yeah, we'll see.
Cool. Well, loyal local listeners,
like Leah,
come on out.
Look at all that alliteration.
I'm good for a few things.
I think, yeah, Leah is a loyal local listener and deadlifted 315 pounds last week.
Oh, damn.
I know.
Okay.
She ripped, man.
Nice. Well, congrats.
Yeah, she's killing it. So, I give her a little shout out in my email blast that went out this morning.
Nice.
Yeah. 315 is a big deal.
315 is, I think, one of those numbers. I think in a Dan John book, 275 is like the golden line, I think, for women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hit 275, especially in the world of athletics, as he would say, good things happen. So I think anything more than that is gravy. And so 315, that's something that not many women, especially who aren't specifically like strength athletes, would ever touch.
Right. But I don't want to get off track, because I do want to talk about your marathon, but thinking back to this conversation I was having with these two sisters today, when they were like, oh, I would never want to lift 315, or I don't even know what it's like to lift 315, but I'm never going to get there. I don't know if I love the like this self-limiting belief.
Well, also, to maybe point out the obvious, do these gals have some sort of preconceived notion around what lifting 315 would mean? Like, do they think that they're gonna bulk up? Do they think they're gonna get hurt? Do they think it's gonna like be some sort of like intense, you know, long time training program that they're gonna have to dedicate their lives to? Do they think they're gonna have to eat steak and
more steak?
And steak and more steak to be able to do this? Like, do they think there's anything else involved in?
You know, those are really good questions. And I didn't ask those questions. It would have superficially appeared that they have no idea. Because right. They're like, I can't even imagine what it's like to pick up that. They think 145 feels terribly heavy. And for them right now, it is heavy. So the idea of 315 just feels like, for me, like saying I'm going to deadlift 1,000 pounds. Like, that's just conceptually, I don't know how you do that. But those are really good questions, and I should have dug deeper as to, like, what their preconceived notions were, and I didn't. So maybe next time I see them, which will be Friday, I'll ask them, like, you know, what's going on? Like, why not? So, and I did try to ask that, but, effectively, I was like, why not? Like, why couldn't you? Or why can't you? Or why wouldn't you want to? And I joke that I'm not very big, I'm not a bulky person, and I can deadlift 405 or have at least. And I'm like, look at me not being bulky and can deadlift 400 pounds. So anyway, yeah, I'm curious why they would say that. But that self-limiting belief of like, either I won't or I can't. I'm like, don't be so sure. We don't know.
Yeah.
We've never tried.
Don't be so sure.
But before we spiral out of control, marathon, half marathon.
I was going to say, we're really spiraling out of control.
You know me, we will if we're not careful. So I'm putting the squash to it right now. Okay, so you ran the Music City Rock and Roll St. Jude.
Nashville St. Jude Rock and Roll Half Marathon.
Okay, on Saturday.
On this past Saturday.
It's gorgeous, too. It was amazing weather.
Yeah.
All right, so
play-by-play.
Let's do a play-by-play.
For the listeners. So obviously last week we had on Dr. Killian on the show, and she is a running expert herself. And let's see, that week I had grand plans of doing three training runs. I only did one, and I did it on the treadmill, and it was about 3.5 miles.
And you hated it?
And I hated it. It was terrible. I felt slow. I felt clumsy. Running on the... One thing that I've learned from this whole experience is how enjoyable running outside can be, even in any sort of weather, versus running on a treadmill. Ugh, it's just terrible. It's just terrible. There's something about like having a machine dictate your speed that just doesn't feel quite right, and obviously you're just boxed into one spot. I mean, a little bit is okay. I think maybe like sprint interval training could be fun, but like long steady distance is not it for me on a treadmill. But it was like the only time I could fit it in was in the middle of the day, and it was, I think it was way too hot to be running outside. I think this was on like Tuesday or Wednesday. In any case, all that to say, the week leading up to the race, training was non-existent to bad, all that to say. I mean, it didn't put me in any kind of funk because I really wasn't too concerned about that because I was feeling pretty confident from my long 10-mile training run the week before. But, yeah, that was about it. So Jesse Riley was awesome enough to be able to sneak in for a quick trip down from Denver to hang out and be my handler.
Hey, buddy. He'll listen eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
He's pretty good about catching up.
Yeah.
On episodes. He'll throw in, he'll text us references from episodes
past
months and months old.
Yeah, and I'm like, what?
So... Hey, Jesse, and thanks again for coming out. It was so much fun. Part of what made it so much fun is that us three hung out on Friday night. And actually, I was sitting...
Carbo-loaded.
Carbo-loaded. I sat right here in this chair here in your backyard. Carbo-loaded with some spaghetti and meatballs from Nicoletto's. Delish. And it started raining, which... Initially, the rain was called for on race day, on race day morning. So that was going to be a little dicey, but the front came in early, so dropped a ton of rain and cooled things down the night before on Friday. So we all hung out. We went out for a drink that turned into...
Several drinks.
A couple that then turned into pizza. Then turned into one more.
You know, and we were still, I think I was home by 8:30. It was still early.
It was still early.
I mean, I know you wanted to be in bed at 8:30.
I think you got home by 9. I don't think you got home by 8:30.
Well, maybe you're right. Yeah. I just remember, that's right, because I remember it being 8:30 at the bar, and that's when you were wanting to be in bed, and we were like, all right, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. So... Didn't stay out all night for anybody who
was worried.
Might have the worry otherwise. Was still in bed at a decently reasonable hour. But Yeah, we had a little fun the night before. Got up super early. Had oatmeal and fruit, cup of coffee, and drove into town. And of course, you know, the marathon closes practically the entire, all the major downtown streets.
Mm-hmm.
So the closest that we could get was still about a mile, 0.1, 0.2 away from the starting line. So Jesse dropped me off,
mm-hmm.
and walked down to the starting line.
Good little warm-up.
Good little warm-up. Initially freaked me out. I was like, oh, come on. I have to, like, run before I run.
So did you run to your starting point?
No, I had plenty of time, so I walked.
Did you walk slow?
I walked...
Like RPE 1?
I walked probably at an RPE 4. I was walking with some intention.
Did you do some high, like some like knee hugs and some butt kicks or anything like
Would
that?
Would you believe I didn't do a stretch? I didn't do...
You didn't stretch?
I didn't stretch. I didn't do a high knee. I didn't do any glute activation.
You didn't do what's the straight leg kicks or whatever?
No Frankenstein walks.
No Frankenstein walks. I don't even remember all of them.
Yeah, the next thing I knew, it was time to line up. So I was... almost at the very, very back of the line because
mm-hmm.
of how I registered. Because I put in that I was going to do, I don't remember what time I said I was going to do, but it was pretty slow. So I was in corral 19 out of 21. Crossed the starting line around 7:45. And so the route was started at the top of Broadway. So you run down Broadway, around, and then up Demumbrian.
Hmm.
Up Demumbrian, over the bridge, up, you know, Demumbrian, past the circle, the traffic circle.
Mm-hmm.
Down Music Row, down and around Belmont, went through some residential streets, came back down Music Row, down through the Gulch, around Bicentennial Mall, back across the bridge to Nissan Stadium.
Hmm.
And that was the course. And it really wasn't too bad. At least it wasn't for me. I heard a lot of people say, you know, the hills are going to kill you. And, you know, you go up Demumbrian. I think that's like the first probably quarter of the race is a lot of uphills.
Hmm.
Also, to be fair, the first 4 miles, I took very, very slow, very easy.
Mm.
I stuck with my general corral. Took it real easy. Going down Broadway, like literally the first 30 seconds, I stepped a little funny on my left foot, and my ankle was kind of barking at me for about a minute, and I was like, oh man, this is, come on. Come on. But after I warmed up, it went away. It was fine. So first 4 miles I took really, really easy. And then I saw a pace runner with a sign holding a 2:45 finish time.
Hmm.
And I thought, that is much too slow. That is much too slow. My client Jim, he's done a bunch of marathons, and on Friday he goes, what do you think you'll finish in? I said, honestly, I'll be happy with anything under 2:30. And he goes, I predict 2:13. And so that put the line in my head, like, oh, I got to beat 2:13.
Mm.
So when I saw 2:45, I was like, oh, man, I gotta turn it up. So I put my headphones in, cranked up some AC/DC.
Of course.
So I basically spent, because I was in such a high number corral, I didn't really realize just how many people were still, you know, in front of me.
Yeah.
So I basically spent the next you know, 8 or 9 miles just bobbing and weaving, passing people.
So athletic.
Which was fun in its own way, but I was also like, you know, running in the gutter, running up on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, probably not the best thing for my ankles, but
it's like diet parkour.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was kind of telling Jesse. Like, it was fun. So all that to say, the race itself was very, very fun. I really wasn't able to just hit like a consistent rhythm, like a consistent pace, because I would kind of speed up and then kind of get bottlenecked and have to, you know, like run behind some people.
Sure.
And then speed up and bob and weave around or find a lane and then slow back down.
And you started, you said 19, Corral 19, but you finished with Corral...
Well, I mean, who knows, really, but the last couple miles, I was passing people whose bibs were Corral 7.
Okay.
Like 7 and 8. So maybe I was passing the slower folks who were in, like, that single-digit Corral number.
Right.
So what all that means, I don't really know. Again, this is my first, like, real race, so I'm not trying to be too big for my britches here, but I finished at 2 hours, 10 minutes.
Nicely done.
Thanks, man. And the last mile and a half, I was just gunning it.
Yeah?
I was just like, okay, here we go. Like, we're going for broke. So I was, like, really, really hoofing it.
I was curious if you had the energy to, like, turn it up at the end, or if you were just so spent that you were just, like, anything to, like, just... maintain.
Well, I was getting there. I think having that first 4 miles really easy was basically just like free mileage.
Okay.
I wasn't feeling any fatigue.
All right, just keep cruising, brother.
At like mile 5, I was like, oh, this is nothing.
Imagine if you didn't have a timer that you wanted to like beat. Do you think that you could have just kept cruising at that pace and like finished easy?
Oh, yeah.
In other words, if that first 4 miles was that easy, like it was nothing, and you were not trying to beat a certain time, do you think you could have just blown right through that 13.1 and just kept going?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, who knows for sure? Obviously, it all kind of depends on the course. But... you know, that's kind of what Jesse was kind of keying me in on, is like folks who do like these ultra marathons.
Right.
He says what a lot of people don't know is just how slow you run them.
Right.
Which, I mean, obviously makes sense. Because, I mean, like metabolically, like, you know, you kind of have to. And that's why I was asking him. I was like, how do people's joints survive 100, 200, 250 mile runs? He's like, well, you're basically walking, you know? So, yeah. I mean, not that it's not tough, but it's not nearly the type of stress on your body that, like, actual running is.
Right.
So, yeah, and I guess that would theoretically be the move. Like, if you're going to do, or, like, at least in my case, if I would be doing, like, a marathon, I would obviously have to keep that kind of super slow, easy pace for freaking 15, 16 miles.
Sure.
You know? So who knows? But all that to say, it was really fun, and I'm really, really happy I did it.
Okay. Some key takeaways. What did you learn as part of the training process, as part of the competition? Anyone sitting on my side who's never competed and has no interest in ever competing, what is something that you, because this is your first race, what did you learn, or like some key takeaways from like this whole process?
Well, one, going back to the line of conversation that we were having around your two gals who were talking about never wanting to deadlift 315 or not having the conceptual idea of what it would be like to lift 315. That's exactly how I was with running 13 miles, if you would have asked me, you know, 6 months ago. especially coming off of my favorite topic to talk about, my broken leg. You know, because before 6 months ago, I hadn't jogged in any real way since way before the accident.
Was some of the motivation for doing the marathon because you broke your leg?
Oh, for sure.
Half marathon, excuse me, but yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's kind of like a, you know, again, it's like my my Phoenix Rising moment for this leg. So
did you feel the leg at all while you're running?
No.
That's cool.
No.
Because you have like plates and screws and shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny? I don't feel the plates and screws at all. The shin itself, like where it was broken, is has not presented any issue.
Hmm.
It's really just, as I've mentioned, like the because the break is kind of closer to the ankle, I think the scar tissue and the inflammation around the ankle joint has kind of been the main snafu.
Right. Well, and there's probably like some swelling just from like being on your feet all day or whatever.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I would say one big takeaway is just having gone through that whole training process of going from like zero, not having any kind of idea, concept of what it would be like to run that far, to running that far.
Hmm.
You know, that's not something that I've experienced in quite a while. So that was fun. And it was just a matter of taking it, as cliche as it is to say, taking it one step at a time.
Hmm.
I remember when I first told Jesse that I had signed up, and I went down to the gym and I did a mile on the treadmill. And I felt so proud of myself. And that mile felt like long. It was like, whew, you know, here I am. I just did a big old mile run. And then I thought, man, I gotta do like 12 more of those. Like that's like that's ridiculous. But you know, with every run, your mental and physical capacity increases. You know, at least it did for me. So once I hit, three was like a slog, but you know, it's well within the realm of possibility that I could get out on any given day and do three. What was a real mind trip is when I did seven, because seven felt like, man, like this is gonna take me all day. Like mentally, I was like, this is a huge commitment.
Right.
To do 7 miles. And it blew my feet and ankles up. Like I could barely, like you saw me after the half marathon. That's what I was like a few months ago after 7.
Wow.
Totally. So it was just that piece by piece, like just kind of breaking those new barriers. And it was like, okay, well now that I've done 7, like 3 is nothing. And for me, it was literally just on one exposure, having that progress. So then, like, my feet were fine up until I did 9, and it still wasn't that bad. And then I did 10. So 10 was the longest training run that I did.
And then you taper and then overshoot, right?
That's the idea.
Hmm.
I don't know if that exactly answers the question, but another big takeaway that we mentioned with Dr. Killian last week is the importance of running slow and easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was a big unlock for me because it helped me to like understand that my running could have different gears.
Mm-hmm.
Because before this experience, in my mind, you're either walking or you're running. And just now, like, having the perspective of, like, I still don't have that many quote-unquote gears, but at least I kind of have, like, a slow a medium and a fast gear.
Sure.
That I know what it feels like. I can feel it out. I know it's sustainable. So that was something that was a little bit tricky to kind of figure out. And I don't think I still have it exactly figured out. But the notion of like recovering while you're still actually jogging or still actually running was pretty cool. And that was one of the, you know, a lot of the training runs that I did were like interval runs where you would, you know, run fast-ish, but you would recover not by walking, but by continuing like with a jog. Mm-hmm. Again, basically maybe like at a power walk speed, but at like a jogging or with a jogging technique. So once I kind of like developed that, I knew that I kind of had that like ace in my pocket that I could always keep moving at somewhat of a decent clip. So, you know, something like 11 to 12 minute per mile pace. Definitely not what you would call fast, but it's moving. It's moving at a decent clip, and it's basically free.
Right.
It's free mileage. It's free distance that basically takes garners like no fatigue.
Hmm.
So that was a big unlock for me.
What were some... So this was a completely new endeavor for you fitness-wise. You've been strength training for a number of years, so like you understand the lifting game fairly well. You competed, so you understand the game really well. What are some, you know, parallels or maybe even like juxtapositions of being a new trainee in a new endeavor versus being a veteran trainee in a different endeavor? Like you effectively, you put yourself in the shoes of the clients that come see us a couple times a week or whatever, right? They're strength training for the first time, or maybe they've been doing it for a few months. Like they're kind of starting to get into the groove of what it's like to be like a weight trainee. You and I have lived there forever and ever, so like it's a familiar like neighborhood. What was it like to be a new trainee in a new fitness endeavor? And did it remind you of anything, or did it like sort of like, you know, while you were doing it, were you like, oh, well, my clients might feel or think a certain way because it's all new, it's all fresh, whatever, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I like being a new student. I like learning new things. I like going into things with no ego, with a blank slate. And I also, I mean, just like anybody else, I really like the feeling of progress. So mm-hmm. when you're starting from zero, everything is progress.
Sure.
So probably a lot of what I am describing to a seasoned runner sounds probably like newbie gains to us.
Right.
You know? So there is that parallel where it's like, on the one hand, I would like to say, you know what, lifting is way more involved than running. You know, like we've got dozens of exercises and techniques to like master.
Sure.
And running is still just one foot in front of the other, just faster or slower. I don't, you know, please save your slings and arrows. Because I definitely know there's a lot more to it, especially when you're actually talking about, you know, real long distance running, which is a marathon plus, but.
Well, right. And then it goes back to, like, if we're talking about deadlifting 500 pounds, that's different than, you know, the pedestrian coming in and learning how to deadlift for the first time and pulling, like, 135. Like.
Yeah. I realize there are levels to this game. There
right.
are levels to this conversation.
Like, there's beginner and intermediate and advanced.
Yeah. But all that to say, obviously, I came in with no ego, very low expectations. You know, I'm halfway joking that I really went out to beat my client Jim's expectation for mm-hmm. me with that 213 number, honestly, just finishing it in any capacity, I would have been happy with.
Sure.
Would have been satisfied with. But on the other side of the coin, I definitely draw from a little bit of this kind of chip on my shoulder attitude,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm coming in and it's like, okay, again, like my first race, my first event, I'm not really driven so much by, like, you know, beating other people or beating other people's, you know, expectations, but rather more it's like, okay, this is an opportunity for me to prove to myself that I can, like, work hard in a new environment, like with a new thing. You know, I can work hard with a kettlebell all day, and it might impress people, it might impress other people, but it's not going to impress me because I've been doing it for like 15 years now. It's like I know what the deal is,
right?
Working hard with a kettlebell, like, it's nothing new. Still worth doing, but it's nothing new. Same thing largely like with barbell and powerlifting training. But with running, it's fun because you're in real time, you're working hard, you're pushing into new mileage, new speed, obviously a brand new race, whatever the case may be, and like you're experiencing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So that in and of itself is very fun, motivating. And again, for me, it's just like, okay, I'm working not against my own mentality, but it's something more of like, as cheesy as this might sound, it's like I'm fulfilling a fate or a destiny that I put on myself. You know? Because again, I signed up for this race on New Year's Eve. Just kind of on a whim, kind of, you know, was just in this mood where...
New year, new you.
Exactly. I'm thinking about new things for the new year, new experiences. And half marathon, a couple of my clients had mentioned, you know, because again, I have a few folks who I know who ran it as well. And I just thought, well, why not me? And it would represent a completely new, different kind of mode of training, and I thought, well, it's got a deadline and it's mm-hmm. not that far off,
mm-hmm.
so kind of lights a fire under your ass. So yeah, those are some of the motivating factors. And I mean, other parallels to lifting, I would also say that, you know, we would pretty much recommend to anybody to lift in the 60-80% of one rep max, or 60-80% effort of intensity for, you know, most of your lifting. I think it's the same thing with running. Like, again, just like Dr. Killian, I think, probably mentioned last week, most of your running should be easy, should be relatively easy, base building. You know, so in the same way that you don't need to max out in the gym every week, you shouldn't be maxing out your, you know, your speed, your pace, your distance every week with running either. It's just kind of a matter of building the skill, building the technique, getting your body accustomed to the movement, the exercise, the activity, and building that base, and really turning your moderate, or training such that your moderate effort becomes easy, and doing that over and over and over again, so that your 80% becomes your 60%. And when you keep doing that, your 100% automatically pushes farther and farther and farther ahead, without you even having to touch it.
It's kind of like weight training.
So I think in some way I was probably doing that with the distances that I was going in my running. I never really felt like I tapped out.
Right. That's great, dude.
Yeah.
All right, so now that you're on this side of it, what's your overall impression of it? Do you want to do it again? Do you want to shoot for a full marathon? What, like, what's the next step going forward?
Well, I definitely had more fun than I anticipated.
That's because you get to listen to AC/DC for 2 hours.
I mean, honestly, you're not wrong. There is that. So any excuse to jam out is a good one. I would say I really enjoyed the training process. I really liked both running for longer distances, also doing like rucks, doing hikes. So I definitely enjoyed the training and the actual event more than I thought that I would. So that was cool. I am not completely sold on being an endurance athlete. I don't think I'm cut out for that, maybe physically or mentally. But at the same time, I do see how like there's like the capacity that I thought was reasonable, that I thought that I had, is probably a lot bigger.
Right.
You know, in the same way that, you know, you bring someone in on day one into the gym, you say, can you lift 100 pounds? You know, someone who knows nothing about weight training, they would say, no way, 100 pounds, that's ridiculous. But you warm them up, you teach them how to deadlift,
mm-hmm.
you put a 100-pound kettlebell between their feet. A lot of people can deadlift a 100-pound kettlebell on day one.
Yeah.
And it blows their mind. So it's a matter of like opening up people's perspective to like what their body is actually capable of.
Sure.
And so I think that was a little bit of that experience with me here talking about like endurance and distance and stuff like that. I am anxious to get back to weight training. I've got a big hiking trip coming up here in a couple weeks. After I get back from that, we're back into the weight room, business as usual, kind of full time. And as I think I've mentioned, like I will often, especially like around like the first of the year, I will purposefully take a break from weightlifting and focus on other things so that I kind of resensitize my body to lifting, like as the spring and summer rolls around.
Just gotta hammer it, dude. Just join me on a Saturday, just load it up, let's go.
Yeah. So I think that a half marathon every spring feels like something that I can commit to for the next few years.
I like that. Because then you can spend, what, April through the like December lifting weights, getting jacked and tan.
Yeah.
And then back off on the weights and go more cardio focused. Oh, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. And it felt very doable.
In-season athlete.
That's it. That's it. So yeah, half marathon feels very doable. My preparation, my training, I think was good, not great. So I think...
Is that on you or on your coach?
It's on me.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's definitely on me. And yeah, now I have the perspective for what it's like. And so now, like, if I don't have the time or the space in my, you know, schedule to get to the gym, or just for whatever reason I'm not feeling like a weightlifting or a jiu-jitsu session, well, now I have something else in my training toolbox that I can pull out. So now I can, it's not a thing where I feel like it's going to take up my entire day or a day's worth of energy just to go out for a run.
Hmm.
So now I have that in my toolbox. So that's pretty cool.
That's great.
But yeah, I think I would like to do at least a few more half marathons before the full marathon enters the chat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Sounds like you could have done it, like just kept going. If you had kept that slow pace.
If I had kept really slow, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. I would just, the only thing that I would really be worried about is not heart and lungs. It would just be the ankle and foot tolerance.
Well, that is the time, like in the training.
Yeah.
Because I think your longest run for a full marathon is like, what, 22? 21, 22, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're chugging along at 11-minute mile, let's say 10-minute mile, just for math's sake, that's 220 minutes.
Yeah, that's a haul. So when you're talking about those runs that are like really over,
like clear your schedule.
Yeah, you're talking 15 miles or more. That is kind of an all-day affair.
Right.
And that doesn't seem fun.
No.
But who
knows?
You
know what I love about strength training over running like that? Is I'm in and out in about an hour.
Very time efficient.
Mm-hmm. Very time efficient.
Yep.
You know, rep for rep, time, you know, minute for minute, I'll take warming up to a one rep max deadlift, even if it takes me 45 minutes over doing a run for more than an hour.
Sure.
And the best part is I don't have to do that because I don't typically do a one rep max. So there's no like,
right.
But even then, we're talking about a lead up of 40 to 45 minutes for a one rep max. That's a performance thing. We're talking about the same thing for you. You train. And then one day you're like, you know what? Let's see what I got for one. And you ramp and you ramp and you ramp. And it might take you, it's still going to take you less than an hour to get there.
Yeah.
For like a performance, like peak performance.
One other kind of mental thing that I do like about running is that as soon as you start, you're already seeing success. Like the distance is already racking up. You know what I mean? So like with lifting, you're warming up and then you have a heavier set and a heavier set and a heavier set. So you're kind of like re-engaging your quote unquote like work.
Sure.
Mentality. And then there's also like decisions to be made like along the way. Like, do we take a big jump? Do we take a small jump? Do we do 4 reps? If you're feeling good, do you go up to 6 reps on this warm up or on this next set? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and that's part of the fun of strength training is because there's so many options and so many different ways to approach it depending on how you're feeling and your goals and that whole thing. And that's great. That's part of the art and the science of lifting. Running, there ain't none of that. There ain't none of that.
You just go.
You just go. Now, part of that, you could say, is kind of monotonous, but again, one of the other unlocks that I kind of found was that it's just kind of nice. Like as soon as, boom, you start, you don't think about anything else.
You're just going. You're just in it.
You're just going.
You're along for the ride.
That's it. And every minute that ticks by, you know, again, you might be going for a certain amount of time. You might be going for a certain length of distance. Obviously, there's interval running and speed training and all this other stuff. But in general, when you're just going out for a run, for time or for distance, every minute and every, you know, 0.1 miles is just getting you one step closer.
Mm.
You know, like with lifting, you know, we will, you know, sometimes, you know, you'll hit like a super duper hard or heavy set and then you're like, man, I'm going to slog and do that again just for the hell of it.
Right.
And like those are like decisions you're making like in real time. Now, granted, there's parallels that you can make with doing that in running, but generally speaking, you don't. So there is something that's kind of like satisfying from just like kind of a nerdy like number standpoint from just seeing the numbers tick by. And you're just like, I know exactly where this is going to end. I know exactly when this is going to end. And I know that I don't have to do anything else besides exactly what I'm doing right now.
The first time that you went for that, like the first 7-miler, and the first time you ever set like a deadlift PR, did they both, because they're technically both personal records, did they both scare you going into it equally? One of my clients, he this is the terminology that he uses going into like a heavy something we're gonna do. He's like, oh, I'm nervous. I'm scared. Like, I'm not scared, I'm nervous. Because it's super heavy weight. I'm like, yes, you should be a little bit, like in your head, a little bit nervous about what we're doing because it's very heavy. The first time you were like, I'm gonna go for 7 miles for the first time ever. Going into it, you're like, oh man, this is something else. Like, I've never done this before.
Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
I was kind of more, kind of excited, kind of nervous, kind of like, I don't know what to expect. Kind of like, ugh, this is going to be a slog. But it's different than lifting a heavy weight. Because the chance of failing on a heavy lift, I mean, obviously depending on the weight, it, like, the chance of failing is there.
Sure.
I don't want to say it's high, but there's a real chance that you could fail any given weightlifting PR.
Sure.
I wasn't thinking that I'm going to fail a 7 mile run.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you could stop and have to walk.
I very well could have, but I wasn't like worried about that.
Okay.
It's like, eh, like this is going to probably suck more. Because a deadlift PR is over in 6 seconds.
If you're grinding, yeah.
Yeah, if you're grinding, 4 to 6 seconds. This run is like, you know, it's a whole process.
Yeah, because once you get 5 miles, you got to go another 22 minutes or whatever if you're doing an 11-minute pace.
Right, exactly.
You're like, damn, how many more AC/DC songs do I got to listen to?
That's it. So it's really just more of a matter of like patience.
How many AC/DC songs do I get to listen to today?
That's it. That's a great reframe.
Okay. You're like, you know what? I'm going to go for this front and I get to listen to, I don't know, 30 AC/DC songs.
There you go. So yeah, I mean, really with the running, it's more of a matter of patience and just like, okay, can I just have the patience and the focus to just grind it out mile after mile. And again, that's how I mentally took it, is 1 mile at a time. I'm just running this mile, and then I'm just running this mile, and then I'm just running this mile. But yeah, I mean, with a lifting PR, it's you hype yourself up and you grip it and rip it, and it's intense, and it's all there, all at one moment of red hot effort. So that in and of itself that's nerve-wracking. That's a fundamentally different thing from, at least in my mind, just like, okay, I just got to have the patience to take this 1 mile at a time.
Interesting.
Yeah, so in my mind, that's completely different.
Okay.
There's a little bit of the nervousness, there's a little bit of the excitement, but yeah, no, it's different. Physically and mentally, I feel it's different.
Good stuff, brother.
So yeah, so thanks again for picking me up on the side of the street.
You're welcome. I had a great time hanging out with you and Dr. Jesse Riley.
Yeah, man.
He actually texted us during this podcast.
Did he now?
He did.
Aw.
He knows we're recording. So he's caught up because he mentioned Dr. Killian, so he's caught up. And
okay.
Yeah, he mentioned in the text, I haven't read it in full, so I don't know what he said, but yeah, he texted us during this podcast.
Oh boy.
A little inception here.
I was going to say, we're getting meta here.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I had a great time hanging out with y'all, and I'm glad it went well, and I'm glad that you exceeded expectations.
I exceeded my own expectations.
And you said a PR. I mean, technically.
Technically, it's a PR.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very confident that a sub-2-hour half marathon is in the cards.
That's cool.
So that's kind of the next goal.
All right. Yeah. So in a year from now, we'll have the same conversation.
Probably.
And between now and then, we'll have 1,000 of the same conversations. But
that's what we're here to
do. Part of training, just putting the reps in.
That's what we're here to do. That's what it's all about, man. So yeah, really fun thing. I'm glad I did it. I would encourage anybody else out there, if you're, honestly, if you're a lifter and you've already got like, you know, robust strength and good joint health, again, just like Dr. Killian and a lot of other great practitioners talk about, strength is integral to running. I mean, I felt very robust during the whole process. And I think there's, you know, having a strong set of hips from years of squats and deadlifts really comes in handy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I attacked the hills. I turned up the jets. And yes, strength and endurance are kind of at opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're on the same spectrum. So if you're a strong person, the endurance will come.
Well, it's like those muscles act as like suspension, you know? You get some beefy ass suspension, be able to take all that force. If you're a runner who doesn't lift, it's like having suspension made of zip ties.
I like that.
Just strung together.
Just strung together.
Strung together, hope and don't break.
That's it. But yeah, I'm really glad I did it. I've got this big backpacking trip coming up, like I mentioned. So I still have one more semi-endurance-ish type event that's coming down the pike. But after that, we're back to the lifting in a real kind of way.
One last thing I want to point out. You signed up for this half marathon on New Year's Eve of 2022, correct?
That's right.
And you ran it in April of 2023.
The end of April.
So you went from running 0 miles to 13.1 in 4 months.
Yes.
How long did it take you to set your all-time deadlift personal record on stage? How many months of training?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, we're talking about years.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
I always find that interesting. Like, I think maybe, you know, the human body is probably built for more endurance, so fine, that's fine. But to go from running 0 miles to running 13.1 in only 4 months is no small feat. I'm not trying to diminish it. But for you to go from never having deadlifted to what's your all-time personal record? 465, is that what you said?
447.
447 took years.
Oh, yeah.
So just to put it in perspective for anybody listening, that's like, how much time am I going to have to...
Right. Yeah.
Well, if you want to be a great runner, not that much time. If you want to be a great lifter, a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, point well taken. I also would not consider myself a great runner. But I would kind of consider, you know, I mean, listen, I would say anybody who is adept at squat, bench, and deadlift, go ahead and sign up for a powerlifting meet.
Sure.
You know, if you've got your techniques nailed down, I don't care how much you lift, if you're intrigued, if you're interested, go ahead and sign up for a powerlifting meet. You never know what PRs you might be able to set on the board. You never know how competitive you might be. So, yeah, I wouldn't exactly, again, I wouldn't consider, looking back on it, it's kind of, on the one hand, I would kind of want to say, like, man, I think anybody could do a half marathon. But I also realize I'm coming from a baseline that's probably higher than your average bear.
Sure.
So, I don't want to over or undersell it or shoot it. I'm just kind of sharing my experience here, but... yeah, that's all I can do is just kind of share my experience and my perspective. And I think if you're already kind of decently fit, I mean, especially if you're someone who like does CrossFit and whatnot, you're already used to like living in the pain cave.
Sure.
Yeah. Half marathon should be well within your capacity with a little bit of smart training.
All right.
So yeah, so glad I did it. It was really fun, and I think it's going to be a just a fun thing to have to kind of anchor my training again. I think it's something that I think if I put it on the calendar every year, it'll give me it'll just be another thing that helps to guide my macro approach to training, which I think is always a useful thing to have.
Sure. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, man. It's good stuff.
Cool. Well, you hear that train a-coming.
The gain train, brother, because we get to lift again.
I was going to say, it's the It's the gain train with my name on it.
Buddy.
I will be hopping back on here in about 4 weeks. So, but yeah, man, I mean, for all that, I haven't exactly done a physique check, but I haven't lost too much meat off these bones.
Well, let's just, next time I see you in the gym, we'll just see if you can keep up.
All right, buddy. Well, cool, man. Well, you know what? You really did a fine job at playing interviewer today.
For once.
I would like to. I would not want to wrap this episode up without recognizing that.
Well, so, thank you. I was trying really hard.
Yeah, man. Thank you for letting me have a moment here.
Yeah.
Have an episode.
Yeah.
Anything else to wrap up on?
Nope.
Dig it. Well, this has been the A to Z No BS Show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.